You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Just the Discs. I'm returning to Kino Country for this round. I've got a stack of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like 6 discs. And my initial thought was, oh, I'm going to do sort of a spotlight on the Touchstone studio releases. And I eyeballed the stack and I thought, yeah, I think these are all Touchstone movies. But it's actually a mix of Touchstone and Hollywood Pictures, who I, you know, sort of cross-associate. And I think there's an Orion in here, too. But they are all Kino. And except for one title, they're all from the 90s. So I'm going to call this like a Kino 90s episode. I'm going to start with a cool double feature. They've been doing a bunch of these, and I haven't covered any yet, I don't think. So I hope to cover more in the future. But I like this one quite a bit. It's two films from the director Mike Binder, who honestly I was familiar with the movies, but I wasn't familiar with the fact that he had directed a couple that I had seen, or at least one that I had seen and another that I don't know if I saw, but I definitely remember the VHS. That's the big thing about these 90s movies, is that I'm familiar with them because I was shelving them, you know, back in my video store heyday in the 90s. My first video store job, I was a junior in high school in the early 90s, and I ended up working in video stores through college. So basically from the early 90s to the late 90s, I spent a lot of time around video cassettes, and so many of these titles are more familiar to me than they might be to people who didn't shelve them constantly. Anyway, let me get to this first double feature. It is two films by Mike Binder, Crossing the Bridge and Indian Summer.
Wake up, Mort. Let's go, pal. Mud Bowl time. Mud Bowl?
Mud Bowl.
Take him out and beat him senseless.
In everyone's life, there comes a time when you have to make a choice.
Some people didn't have sex during high school, okay? I know that's going to come as a big shock to you, all right?
Besides your name, what?
A time to cross that bridge into an unknown future.
I have no interest in going to college, okay?
None.
My time came in the spring of 1975, when I had to decide whether to start a career.
You're firing me? I overslept.
It's 4:30 in the afternoon.
Settle down.
Forget about it, Mort. She dumped you.
Or maybe try something completely different.
You always say that you want to do something, but here's something to do.
Danny, you're talking about smuggling across the U.S. border. So how much money will we make?
You in or not? A tie. You're wearing a tie to a border run.
Tell me what it is that you guys are doing up here again.
I have no idea why I'm going to Canada.
Naked women, Tim. You love naked women.
Stop! Let's go!
I didn't know it then, but I was about to make a decision that would change my life forever.
Beginning to think that I'm wasting time.
Hey, he's got a suit on. Let's get him!
Yeah, what if you get caught?
He won't get caught.
Just look like you know what you're doing, okay?
These border guys are serious.
And the closer I got to crossing over that line...
I don't have a choice.
Yes, you do.
The more I realized things would never be the same.
Come on, that's enough!
God, I love her.
Let's play ball!
Josh Charles, Jason Gedrick, Stephen Baldwin, in a story about a lifetime of choices and a moment of truth.
What about Mort? What the hell got into him?
For once in his life, it was actually pretty cool.
The back says, for Crossing the Bridge, writer-director Mike Binder's debut, hailed nationwide by critics, Crossing the Bridge is an entertaining comedy drama about the adventures of three young friends in the 70s in Detroit. Starring Josh Charles, Jason Gedrick, and Stephen Baldwin, through thick and thin they were friends, now they're putting everything on the line with a dangerous and very risky venture promising high-stakes consequences. So yeah, this one's It's neat. I have a soft spot for Josh Charles, like most people. I saw him first in Dead Poets Society. And Jason Gedrick, I saw in Iron Eagle, which was a cable favorite of mine as a young person. And I must have watched it, you know, 20 times on some, like, taped it off TBS or something like that. Anyway, I thought I had seen this. The cover looks so familiar, but in watching it, I found myself not remembering much at all, and I enjoyed it. It's not an incredibly flawless story, but it does give a really good sense of time and place, and apparently is based on Mike Binder's own experiences growing up in 70s Detroit. It has a really nice soundtrack, including, you know, Fortunate Son by John Fogerty. And, I mean, some songs that now seem a little more familiar, although I feel like maybe Fortunate Son had been used before this. But Jackson Browne's These Days is really well used. And there's a great story by Mike Binder. There's an interview with him about 20 minutes or so where he talks mostly about Crossing the Bridge, but a little bit about Indian Summer. But the soundtrack really does make it a more immersive and emotionally engaging movie than it could be. And it was neat to hear These Days, the original version, because I'm so used to hearing it in Royal Tenenbaums, where Wes Anderson uses the Nico cover of that song. I just have weird touchstones with these certain songs that I've heard in movies. You know, you'll get that where you hear it the first time in a movie and then somewhere else it's kind of like, it doesn't set off a red flag, but it's like sort of makes you go, oh, I've heard this. Oh, but this movie actually came out, you know, like 8 years before that movie. And anyway, not that the two are connected, not that Wes Anderson's a fan of Crossing the Bridge, although I wouldn't be surprised if he saw it. But it's an interesting, you know, kind of coming of age, post high school kind of thing. It's got Jeffrey Tambor in it playing his uncle, and it's yet another role where Tambor is like disappointed, and I won't go into why. That sort of comes out in the movie. But it's got the girl who plays Paige from Pump Up the Volume, which is interesting. I just saw her in the movie Nightlife the other night for the first time, which I'd never seen Nightlife before, with Scott Grimes, little zombie movie. Anyway, Paige is coming up all over the place, but it's, you know, it's good. Yeah, it's I enjoyed it. In Indian Summer, I'd definitely seen.
From Touchstone Pictures, they're eight lifelong friends who are going back to summer camp.
Let the games begin.
Going back to forget their worries.
You rich?
Not even close.
Too bad. You've gotten kind of sexy.
But what started as fun and games became a week they'd never forget.
Hope I didn't offend any of you.
No. Who said that?
Indian Summer, rated PG-13.
When I was in the video store days, and I love this cast, it's the, let me read the back here. It says writer-director Mike Binder's second film, Indian Summer, is a heartwarming comedy about eight friends who reunite at their summer camp after 20 years. Featuring an impressive ensemble cast including Alan Arkin, Diane Lane, Bill Paxton, Elizabeth Perkins, Kevin Pollak, Vincent Spano, Kimberly Williams, Matt Craven, and Julie Warner. So yeah, this one is pretty charming. Pretty charming little movie. The only thing that might take you out is Bill Paxton's mullet is way out of control. But then Diane Lane will bring you back in because she is absolutely adorable and one of my major cinematic crushes in my life. So I always love seeing her in just about any movie, really. I still haven't seen, is it Under the Tuscan Sun? There's a few I haven't seen yet, but I enjoy her a lot in movies. And Elizabeth Perkins is always really fun, you know. They kind of pigeonholed her in a certain kind of female role around this period, but I think she plays it really well. And Julie Warner, I knew her from Doc Hollywood, but she had a few, you know, leading female love interest kind of roles in movies around this time, and I miss her. She is quite a presence as well. And Vincent Spano is one of my favorites. I absolutely adore him in Baby It's You, and he was in John Sayles. He was in another John Sayles movie. He directed Baby It's You. He was also in City of Hope, and he's in Over the Edge. He's just a really neat actor, and he also has long hair in this. Nah, sort of in the vein of Bill Paxton's mullet, but he can pull it off for some reason. I don't know. And Paxton, I just can't handle it. And then Kevin Pollak, who I miss a lot, is a sort of character actor showing up, doing his little... He doesn't really do as much of his shtick in this movie. I mean, he does a little bit.
Let me just say right now, if this is some elaborate Shrek where I'm the only one who dives in, I knew it.
What's a Shrek?
Shrek is a camp gag, you know, a trick. Shrek, yeah. Most of them are pretty stupid.
I was king of the Shrek. Yeah, Lou, you remember the time you put the sailboat in your cabin?
But he's just always really funny. I get a big kick out of him in just about any movie I've seen him in. I need to rewatch House Arrest. Been meaning to rewatch that one for a while. Anyway, he's got a great podcast too. If you haven't listened to the Kevin Pollak's Chat Show podcast, they're always really great in-depth interviews with, you know, well-researched inquiries and stuff. So I'm a big fan. Anyway, this is a nice double feature. Like I said, it has the interview with Mike Binder, but yeah, both transfers look good, and I was just happy that these Touchstone movies are getting some kind of Blu-ray release. I mean, there seems like they were getting some on Mill Creek, but certainly no extras, and I don't know if both of these made it or not. But it's nice to see Kino aligned with Touchstone and Hollywood Pictures. It could mean, you know, we'll see some other stuff that was a big deal to me back then, Stakeout, and oh man, there's so many Touchstone movies. I can't even get started. Moving on. This is a Hollywood Pictures release called Camp Nowhere. So I'm continuing the sort of camp business.
It's their camp. It's their rules.
What kind of omelet is that?
Popcorn.
It's that simple. Camp Nowhere, rated PG, starts Friday, August 26th.
And this one stars Christopher Lloyd and has a small part for M. Emmett Walsh and some kids I'd never seen before who are pretty good. But the back says, Hollywood funny man Christopher Lloyd, Back to the Future, lights up the screen as a hilarious one-man cast of characters in this rip-roaring comedy hit. Lloyd stars as an out-of-work actor lassoed into service by a group of thrill-seeking teens. They're out to create the summer camp of their dreams, a place with no parents, no counselors, and no rules. With Lloyd's off-the-wall nuttiness and his funniest role yet, it's nonstop laughs at the wackiest summer camp ever. Don't miss Camp Nowhere, the outrageously funny comedy hit sure to drive you wild. Wonderful cast includes Peter Scolari, Emmett Walsh, Kate Mulgrew, Burgess Meredith.
So that's two cabins for the summer, am I right? If you want more, you gotta call me in Florida.
So I don't get it. Who built those teepees and painted that weird bus?
Ah, that's interesting. In the late 60s, a bunch of hippies made this place into a commune. You know, there was all sorts of sex and drugs and debauchery.
No, I've been here before.
You mean you did that stuff here?
No, not here.
You won't regret this, Mr. Bandersnatch. You're in for the most peaceful, relaxing summer of your whole lives. That was the Pineview Air Force Base. The 515 flyby, they call it. You get used to it. You get used to it. You miss it when it doesn't happen.
And Jessica Alba. Oh, wow. I totally forgot about that. Yeah, so this one, you know, it's cute. It's a cute, goofy 90s comedy. It reminds me of that movie Accepted that came out early 2000s where the kids basically create their own college. So this seems like the template for that movie in a way. What's fun is that the kids sort of blackmail Christopher Lloyd because he wants to keep his gremlin. He's got an old yellow gremlin car, and so they get him to pretend to be the sort of head person at like four different camps. Like one's a computer camp, one's a military camp, one's a fat kids camp, and one's a theater camp. And he has like a different outfit for every one, and I guess the parents are willing to just hand over cash to the head of the camp there on the spot. So they take the cash and they rent out some cabins for the summer, and wackiness ensues. So this is a fun one that I definitely only saw once way back and barely remembered. But I do love Chris Lloyd, so, you know, seeing those interviews at the beginning where he's playing the different characters was pretty fantastic. This one has an audio commentary by director Jonathan Prince. Yeah, it's fun. Fun little nostalgia piece for you. Next up, I have Straight Talk.
Shirley Kenyon couldn't do anything right.
I know you've been holding, and you should be grateful. Everybody else got cut off.
Until she accidentally became Chicago's hottest radio psychologist.
Get down off the cross, honey. Somebody needs the wood.
Now she's talking her way straight to the top.
Next time your husband wants to know about your wildest fantasy, just say, honey, it's you getting a job.
Dolly Parton, Straight Talk, rated PG, starts Friday, April 3rd at a theater near you.
Another Hollywood Pictures release. This one stars Dolly Parton and James Woods. The back says, when down on her luck, country girl Shirley Kenyon, Dolly Parton, walks through the wrong door at the right time, she accidentally becomes Chicago's newest talk radio celebrity and turns the Windy City's hottest radio station upside down.
So you stopped sleeping with your wife. Isn't that what you're trying to say, bud?
Well, I guess it is. Yes.
So who are you fooling around with?
It's not that. It's not that at all. I just lost interest in her.
Yeah? And who are you fooling around with?
A girl in my office.
Now let me get this straight. You got a wife and you got a girlfriend in the office? Did you say your name was Bud or Stud? I'm sorry. But it sounds to me like you're living your life so crooked you have to screw your socks on. Having an affair is like shooting pool on two tables. You may have the balls, bud, but you're gonna wear out your stick.
What is going on over there?
With her homespun wit and down-home advice, Shirley immediately wins listeners' hearts, but causes hilarious confusion when her ratings-conscious boss, Griffin Dunn, and comical havoc for the investigative reporter, James Woods, trying to uncover her mysterious past. Michael Madsen, Terry Hatcher, Jerry Orbach, Philip Bosco, and Jeff Garlin co-star in the romantic comedy that will warm your heart. So this one is, you know, quite sweet. You know, Dolly is incredibly warm as a presence, as an actor, and seems really genuine in a lot of ways, which I imagine she was probably like in real life around this time, or she still is now. But it's neat to see a vehicle really designed around her, including, you know, her writing songs for the movie. And so it's very much her movie, you know, like it's clearly engineered around her. And, you know, she's a delight. So, yeah, and it was fun to see James Woods and Jerry Orbach and some of the others in this one. I don't know the director. His name's Barnett Kelman, but there is an audio commentary from him on this disc. Very nice. I like that Kino's getting these audio commentaries from these directors. I think that's really neat. You know, the commentaries from the scholars and bloggers and all that stuff is great too, but I'm glad that, you know, the directors are willing to show up and talk about their movies. That's always, you know, insightful. So that's Straight Talk from 1992. Camp Nowhere is from 1994. Crossing the Bridge, 1992. Indian Summer, 1993. Just to give those years. Next on my stack is My Father the Hero from 1994.
From Touchstone Pictures, critics have discovered the year's most charming, wonderful delight, My Father the Hero.
I told him you were my lover.
Are you out of your mind?
They're calling it hilarious, with loads of laughs and plenty of heart.
When I start lying, I can't stop.
And ABC raves, Gerard Depardieu is irresistible.
I told him you were dying.
I'm dying now?
In the movie that's pure, crowd-pleasing entertainment.
Oh, no!
My Father the Hero, rated PG, now playing in a theater near you.
It says, Gerard Depardieu stars as an overprotective father who lands in hot water when his overactive teenage daughter, Katherine Heigl, gets in over her head at a tropical vacation resort. Soon, the mischievous teen is getting dad in big trouble, hurling him into one madcap misadventure after another. Combining uproarious comedy and a beautiful island setting, My Father the Hero simply overflows with nonstop fun in the sun. Discover yourself, the comedy hit that left critics and audiences alike drowning with laughter. Directed by Steve Miner, who did Warlock, House, Friday the 13th Part 2, my favorite, and Friday the 13th Part 3, another one that I love. This is a wonderful remake of Gerard Lozier's 1991 French hit Mon Père Ce Héros, which also starred Depardieu, also co-starring Lauren Hutton and Stephen Tobolowsky. looking extra nerdy in like a fishing hat and stuff. So yeah, this one's pretty goofy. It's got a weird dynamic between Heigl and Gerard Depardieu, who's like the father who's been out of his daughter's life for like 5 years, and he shows up and, you know, wants to sweep her off her feet and become the super dad and take her on this Bahamas trip. But she's not super psyched about it, and then she ends up meeting some boys. And because she doesn't want to be seen as a 14-year-old, which Katherine Heigl was 14 at the time of this movie, she says that her dad is her lover, which is really an odd choice. And an even more odd choice is that Gerard Depardieu sings Thank Heaven for Little Girls at one point in the movie.
Play something French.
Jacques Brel.
Ah, Jacques Brel. Something French could be... Each time I see a little girl, or five, or six, or seven, I can't resist a joyous urge to smile and say, thank even for little girls. For little girls get bigger every day.
That's it.
Thank even for little girls. They grew up in the most delightful way. Little eyes so helpless on a feeling. One day will flash and send you crashing through the ceiling. Thank heaven for little girls.
Which just doesn't help the sort of incestuous weird vibe that's going on. Anyway, it's a goofy comedy, but I like Depardieu a lot. I think he is an incredibly gifted actor and comedian, and he's really put through the ringer on this one in terms of having to be kind of big and, you know, pratfall-y and stuff like that. And speaking of pratfalls, oh my God, I totally forgot to mention, in Indian Summer, one of the big highlights for me is that Sam Raimi is in the movie, and he apparently was friends with Mike Binder from, like, I think they went to college together or something. He knew him when he was younger. And Raimi has a great role as sort of like, not the maintenance guy, but kind of the less than fully together maintenance type dude. And he has lots of physical comedy that he does, some great, you know, little set pieces. And I know that Raimi's a big fan of physical comedy. Obviously, we know he loves the Three Stooges and that sort of thing. So it was fun to see him clearly having had some input on the physical gags that he's doing in Indian Summer. Sorry for that flashback. But thinking about Gerard Depardieu being wacky on water skis in this movie just made me remember that. So anyway, it's fun. It's a fun movie. It's weird to see Katherine Heigl so young. I'm sure this is the first time I saw her, but I had totally forgotten about it. And yeah, it's crazy that she was only 14 when she made this movie. There's an audio commentary by director Steve Miner, which I totally appreciated. I like him a lot as a director. So to hear his thoughts and, you know, him talking about his career in general throughout the course of this thing was a lot of fun. And I dug it. Next up is Cadillac Man from 1990.
Benz. 300E Benz.
Joey O'Brien loves to sell cars.
Benz.
Mercedes-Benz.
Right now you're probably thinking, hey, this is not the car for me. Right. Over the touch of one button. Max headroom.
I'm talking emotional support. Emotional, can you afford that?
Yeah. I'm
gonna make it happen, huh? This emotional thing you want?
And he loves too many women.
Yeah.
You know, when you want something, you gotta go out there, you gotta take it like a shark.
I wonder if that's how I should take you from underneath.
Oh.
Why'd I ever leave you, Tina?
You were asked to leave. Do you remember why?
Now. He has a little explaining to do.
I wanna know how many times you did Don. And I wanna know where, and I wanna know how.
Her too, and my wife, and his wife? How the hell you got time to make a living?
Joey, what's he talking to you, Joey? Is this true?
Oh. Come on, Lisa.
Lisa? I knew you were doing a Lisa, Joey.
No. What's that make it for? How many girls you got?
Yeah, Lisa's my daughter.
You got a daughter, Joey? You probably got a wife, too.
No.
Wife?
No wife. No, ex-wife.
He's a busy boy, you're Joey. A very busy boy.
From Madonna.
Wife.
Tina. Chuck. Lila. Lola.
Lila. L-I-L-A. Lila.
Lila, listen, there's an explanation for this. There really is.
Ow.
Robin Williams. Tim Robbins.
You got a lot of girls. It's easy for you. It ain't easy.
Cadillac Man.
Now, this is an Orion picture, maybe? MGM Orion, yeah. So not a Touchstone or a Hollywood Picture release, but a 90s comedy, and one I remember getting a big kick out of way back then. The back says, high-priced luxury car salesman Joey O'Brien, Robin Williams, has some serious troubles. A mafia boss wants his hide. The women in his life are all trying his patience. His boss may fire him if his sales don't pick up. And to top it all off, into his showroom walks Larry, Tim Robbins, a lunkhead Terminator with an axe to grind. He's fully loaded with explosives and ammunition, looking for the man who's been doing his wife. Roger Donaldson, No Way Out, a New Zealand director that my Pure Cinema podcast co-host Elric Kane is a fan of, and I am too, directed this hilarious comedy written by Ken Friedman and featuring a wonderful cast that includes Pamela Reed, Fran Drescher, Lori Petty, Annabella Sciorra, and Zach Norman. Cadillac Man is a nonstop joyride of comic lunacy. So yeah, it was interesting. This one had Robin Williams playing like one of the most sleazy characters that I'd seen him play to date.
May I help you back to your car?
Thank you.
Your husband must have been a fine man.
Yes, he was a fine man.
A man who took care of you all of his life. Never denied you anything.
Nothing. Ralph denied me nothing. He was a good provider.
Now that he's gone, I'm sure that he wouldn't want you to deny yourself in his absence. Joey O'Brien, Turgeon Auto.
What is this?
My business car.
You're not trying to sell me a car, are you? At my husband's funeral? Before he's even in the ground? Are you?
Yes.
You sleaze. You are the scum of the earth.
You know, this sort of womanizing, sweaty, fast-talking car salesman. And I think that was part of the reason it stood out to me, was because I was unused to seeing him in this kind of role. Not saying he hadn't done anything like it prior, but this was the first of this sort of thing that I had seen. So I dug it. And seeing him play off of Tim Robbins, who is pretty early on in his career and plays a very interestingly unhinged and stupid character that's, you know, threatening everybody with explosives and automatic weapons, I think, is entertaining. It's a great showcase for Robin Williams. And I mean, listen to that cast. It's such a parade of 90s ladies that I miss, you know, from Lori Petty to Annabella Sciorra to Fran Drescher. I mean, all three of them you don't see in movies nearly as much anymore, and that bothers me, and I'm upset about it. But it's great to see them together in this movie. So this one was a lot of fun to revisit, and I hadn't seen it since the mid-90s, I don't think. And it's got an audio commentary by director Roger Donaldson. Very cool. But yeah, good disc. Good disc overall. And so last in my stack is another double feature, and it's got two movies. One is from the 90s, one is from the 80s. So I cheated a little bit on my 90s thing with this one. First up is Big Business from 1988.
From Touchstone Pictures, Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin are about to meet Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin, the two sets of mismatched twins in one outrageous comedy.
There's two of everybody in there.
Big Business, rated PG, starts tomorrow at a theater near you. Check newspaper for showtime.
The back says, comedy legends Bette Midler and Lily Tomlin star in this critically acclaimed box office hit about two sets of identical twins who are mismatched at birth. 40 years later, their paths cross amid the hustle and bustle of Manhattan, and the result is unrestrained pandemonium. Wonderfully directed by Jim Abrams of the Abrams-Zucker duo that would make Airplane, Top Secret, etc., which I totally forgot about.
Actually, it took us, the next movie we made was Top Secret, and you were very complimentary, and there were nice jokes in it, but we didn't really understand exactly all of why Airplane worked so well. And a lot of it was that there was this really tight three-act play story with a character arc and all that that motored, that told the story, so we could, you know, put our little jokes on and they'd be ornaments for this story. And after Top Secret came out, it didn't do as well. And then we sort of went back and said, wait a minute, why, we thought these were these great jokes. How come they didn't work as well? What was the problem? And we realized how important story is, even in parody. And there's a difference between a lot of these comedy movies today and parody. I mean, that specific genre of parody or satire. And what we learned was, you know, after, especially after Top Secret, that it's really important to pay attention to story and make sure that those nuts and bolts are in place. So because that makes that's really what makes a joke works. This is all a long harangue getting back to your original question of, you know, how do you react to some of the parodies today? And I kind of feel like they don't pay much attention to story. They just, let's do this and this and this joke and this spoof of this movie and that, and let's run in credits. And so it feels to me like they don't quite pay as much attention as they might to story.
Also, director of photography, Dean Cundey of the John Carpenter films and Jurassic Park and various. So I love having Dean Cundey behind the camera. That just means everything's going to look great, and it does. But yeah, this one is a real throwback to a sort of a 30s screwball kind of thing. And it even goes so far as to homage / rip off the mirror gag from Duck Soup, which is one of my favorite gags in all of cinema. When you have these two twins running into each other and thinking it's a mirror. And that doesn't happen until really late in the movie. For some reason, I remembered it happening like midway through. But they don't meet each other till nearly the end. So the constant confusion about which twins are being dealt with is pretty well done. You know, one set of twins runs this like huge corporation that owns the hospital / furniture factory, this rural furniture factory where the girls were born and where they got switched at birth. And so the whole drama arises when the rural set of twins, who still lives in the town where the furniture factory is, finds out that the rich twins, I guess, if you want to call them that, are planning to sell off the furniture factory as one of their holdings. And so they go to New York to stop them. And from the very moment they get off the plane, they are confused for the other set of rich twins. And it's just like this whole nonstop juggling act of different people that know the different sets of twins running into the other set and surprising them with something that they think they should know about and they don't. And so it's really charming and incredibly well acted by both Lily Tomlin and Bette Midler, who get to play sort of opposites. Like, in the rich set of twins, Bette is sort of the dominant one. And in the rural twins, Lily's the dominant one. But it's like four relatively distinct personalities. And I've said it before, I like dual roles. I think it's interesting to watch actors play multiple parts in a movie. And you can kind of see just how capable they are at, you know, different characters. You know, when you see them literally walking in one door and coming out another door as a different character. That's a gag they use a couple times in the movie where Bette Midler walks in a door and walks out a door nearby like before she's even in. So they're clearly using a little bit of movie magic, which I liked. But it's a lot of fun and underrated. I think it's a really wonderful comedy that has been sort of lost to the ages and definitely worth your time. Quite adorable. The other part of this double feature is Paul Mazursky's film Scenes from a Mall. This one is from 1991.
Touchstone Pictures presents Bette Midler and Woody Allen. After 16 years of marriage, he's doing the honorable thing. He's telling the truth.
I had an affair.
The whole truth.
Did she do tricks in bed, things I don't do? No. Yes, actually she did.
And nothing but the truth.
Have there been others?
Two, yes, and there were one night as
Scenes from a Mall.
Three, actually, if you count the hooker in Dallas. But that was business. I was totally business. They sent it to my room. I refused.
It was a gift. Starts Friday, February 22nd at a theater near you.
The back says, a hilarious adventure in marriage, infidelity and bargain shopping, Hollywood icons Bette Midler and Woody Allen. Co-star is a best-selling pop psychologist, Midler, and a high-powered sports attorney, Allen. A little bit of an odd choice for him as a sports guy, but I know he likes basketballs. Anyway, they're the perfect 90s power couple, and during a shopping spree in an upscale mall, this Beverly Hills duo's seemingly happy marriage takes an outlandish turn for the worse. Yeah, so this one, Paul Mazursky, I like a lot. I talked about him in the Twilight Time episode where I highlighted Bob and Carol and Ted and Alice. It's really interesting to see this latter career effort from him. I feel like he made a few movies after this, but I could be wrong. And so it's neat to see the sort of bookends, you know, the beginning and near the end for him. But this feels, I mean, just by virtue of Mazursky's style, which is sort of character-based and conversational, and, you know, because Woody Allen's in it, it feels like an LA-based Woody Allen movie a little, you know, and that's intriguing to me. And they do play an interesting couple together. Woody's got like this little tiny ponytail that he wears in the back, which drove me absolutely crazy. But I don't know if I'd seen this one all the way through until this release. So it was neat to get it on a disc with a movie that I'm already a fan of. And just reminded me that I like Bette Midler a lot. She's just really great. I hope there'll be a nice special edition of Outrageous Fortune at some point, another Touchstone release. These are both Touchstone movies. But yeah, this solid double feature. Definitely between this and the Crossing the Bridge Indian Summer double, I'd say those two are my picks for this episode. I like those probably the most overall. But, you know, if you're a fan of 90s movies and you have a soft spot for them like I do, then any one of these could be quite a nostalgia festival for you. So they're all recommended, and I, like I said, I hope to see more from Kino. It looks like it's just sort of the beginnings of this licensing of Touchstone and Hollywood Pictures movies. So anyway, that will do it for this Kino-centric episode. I'm sure I will have more Kino-centric episodes in the near future. Please check out their website and their Twitter and their Facebook for all the announcements that they have on a weekly basis. They're constantly announcing new stuff, which I love. Checking their Twitter feed is actually one of my daily rituals, because there's, again, almost daily, at least 2, 3, 4 times a week sometimes, they'll announce a new title. That's just how much they're cranking out these days, and I look forward to every new announcement. So check them out. Thank you so much for listening, and have a wonderful and Blu-ray-filled week. Bye-bye.